You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Just in that atmosphere of worship, God is good. It's His breath in our lungs. And I believe that He wants to give more than that in His lungs. He wants to give the word that He has for us through Isaiah 58 today. Can we stay standing this morning for the reading of the word? Amen. You can shake your heads. Yes. But God is speaking to us this morning. I pray you open your heart to Isaiah 58. Shout out loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out as if they were a nation that does what's right and has not forsaken the commands God has given them. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager to do them for God or for God to come near. Sorry. Why have you fasted? They say. And you, why have we fasted, they say, and God has not heard? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit the worker. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that the kind of fast I call? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and the glory of the Lord will be your guard. I read that wrong, but then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness, God is your righteousness, will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry out for help, and He will say, "Here I am." God has good things for us today as we talk about fasting. Join me in prayer. Jesus, thank you for your word to us, that you have spoken to us through your prophet Isaiah. Lord, let us speak to our hearts. Let it speak to our hearts and change our lives today. In your name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and find your seat. My name is Pastor Amy. I'm one of the awesome people that get to speak at you four times a month. Oh, I got to get my calendar years and everything right. My arm is like dying from this heavy Bible. I brought my fire Bible today. Can you see it? It literally says fire Bible, but I need to work out, dude. This Bible is like, it's heavy. It's a heavy Bible. I was that teenager that brought my Bible to school every day. You can laugh about it. It's okay. And it was like this big, and so you can tell I'm like out of shape because I've been using my cell phone as my Bible. Anybody there? So my arm is not in fire Bible shape. Anybody with me there? I'm getting there. Well, we're on this current series, as you can tell, as we read Isaiah 58, and you can see behind me, it's called When You Fast. Pastor Tim kicked us off 2 weeks ago, and he shared some really great words with us, and then Pastor Tyrone gave us a little bit of a break, and we talked about the vision of the church. I would encourage you, if you haven't listened to that sermon, go back and listen to it. You can find out what Bell Road Church is all about and where we're going. I highly recommend you check that out. But again, we're in this series, When You Fast, and the Bible assumes that you would fast. just assumes it. Jesus says it in Matthew 6, 16 and 17. He says, when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites do. And we all say, amen. Yeah, I don't want to be called a hypocrite. Everybody shake your head. Yes, I want to fast, not like the hypocrites do. But it's assumed that we will fast. And fasting has great benefits, one of which is not good breath. If you have ever fasted food and just done a water fast, you would say amen, because you know what I'm talking about. I recently have been just fasting dinner, and as I go to pray, I like kind of put my hands in my head in my hands, and I can like smell my breath, and I'm like, dear God, it's so bad. It's like the worst breath I've ever had in my entire life. So just a warning, maybe fast everything but water and Altoids for the sake of the people around you. And if I have offended any of you, I am so sorry. I did sort of was like, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this breath thing because I cannot focus. Anyways, so our big idea today is that true fasting isn't just about me and Jesus, it's about me and others. And as I was thinking about fasting, I thought, man, what's the point? Why do we fast? Especially food. I know that maybe I don't look like it, but I can put some food down like there ain't no tomorrow. If I'm being really honest, it's about Easter. I'm sorry. I get a lot looser in the second service. I could eat like 5 Cadbury eggs, like for real. Anyways, I think I've done that before, but anyways, we'll jump ahead. So as I was thinking, I'm like, all I could come up with a list of why not to fast. But call me a weirdo, but I wasn't going to give you reasons to fast. I'm going to give you reasons not to fast. Is that a good sermon? I don't know. Number one, it's hard. Fasting is so hard. Number two, it's inconvenient. If you've ever done a Daniel fast and you've had to prep your food and change the way you eat, that is so inconvenient, especially when you're not eating meat. And then some of you have medical reasons, and I find myself in that category. I'm like, oh, Lord, I've got medical and physical reasons, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But another reason why you shouldn't fast is that life's too busy. You ain't got no time for that, right? I love that. I love that video, just so you know. I'm just going to show you something. I ain't got no time for that. I got bronchitis. Anybody seen that video? Look it up. It's really funny. You ain't got no time for that, but you got time to get you a cold pop. So, don't fast if you don't want to know how much you eat out of boredom. Don't fast if you don't want to know how much you eat out of boredom. Another reason not to fast is you will be hungry if you're fasting food. You will crave the thing that you fast. You will think about it 24 hours a day. You will think about it. And we don't like being hungry, right? But it's not just a little hungry. When you like go 2 hours and you're like, oh my gosh, it's a long time till lunch and I'm getting hangry. It's not the same thing. It's different. It's like I skipped this meal and that meal and I haven't eaten for 2 days and I'm starving. My stomach might turn inside out and eat me. Kind of hungry, right? You will be hungry. Don't fast if you don't want to be uncomfortable. Because it's really uncomfortable when you're fasting movies and your friends are like, hey, we're going to go see your favorite movie later tonight. You want to come? No, I'm fasting. I'm really excited about it. Anyways, also, it really hits our gluttony. And when I'm talking about gluttony, I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about overconsumption and consuming to excess. Don't fast if you don't want to be aware of the gluttony in your life. Maybe, too, you don't want to know how much you self-medicate either. Because if you're anything like me, I come home from a hard day and I want me a bar of chocolate. Because I deserve that chocolate and I earn that chocolate. Or maybe you get done and you're like, I really need a Starbucks. I deserve or a Dutch Bros or a Jamba Juice. I'm just going to point out Andrew every time he sits in the front. For fun. That was free. That was free for Andrew. But if you want to continue your self-medicating, don't fast, because it'll be really hard to self-medicate with TV, social media. Anything that you're fasting is going to be hard to do. And ultimately, don't fast if you want to lose your consumer Christianity to gain a die to yourself, pick up your cross type of Christianity, because it will kill that inside of you. Now, if you know me at all, maybe I've told you that I'm hypoglycemic. In case you're wondering what hypoglycemia is low blood sugar, basically pre-diabetic. I know, yada, yada, so fun. But it has become my excuse not to fast food. And I have fasted lots of other things, don't get me wrong, but in a long time, I haven't really fasted food. It's become kind of my get out of jail free card, if I'm being completely vulnerable and honest. And there are a few things that happen to me when my blood sugar drops. So basically with hypoglycemia, the way I medicate is to eat food every 3 hours. Now, there are multiple things, like I said, that happen to me. Number one, I get the shakes sometimes. I become more irritable, which is something that Tyrone and Jude does not like. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's right. One that I personally don't like is I become forgetful. And another one, there are two top ones that I really, really hate besides the nausea. I haven't mentioned the nausea yet. So when my blood sugar drops, I feel like I'm going to throw up every time I breathe out. I don't usually. I just usually dry heave, which is also really honestly embarrassing to do in front of someone else, another human being. But my most hated one is when I say things I don't mean to say. Now, I'm not talking about verbal vomit, like it was in my brain and I wanted to say it, but it came out when I didn't mean for it to come out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about thinking car and saying elephant. And I'm like 38, dude. I act like I have a stroke. Do you know how embarrassing that is? And you don't want to explain to everybody every time, hey, I don't talk so good sometimes because my blood sugar drops. So I do carry candy in my purse, and sometimes I carry baby bells, and you might see my purse fall over and like a baby bell roll out or something. I just carry cheese because it helps me. So, but you have experienced this because 2 times since I've been here, my blood sugar has dropped while I've been hosting. And the worst thing about that is like, you know your blood sugar is dropping and you're like, dear God, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And I literally totally forgot our mission statement, which I know by heart. And I'm like, next time, Tyrone, you need to be nicer to me when I forget our mission statement because I have a medical condition. And there's been another time where I've tried to say Dutch Bros like 50 bajillion times and the word would not come out. I'm like, elephant, elephant, I mean elephant. But it's like really Dutch Bros in my mind. That's what I'm thinking. And then there's my most hated, and I call this one the black curtain. So this only happens to me every 7 to 10 years, and I told 2 stories, but the first time it happened to me, I happened to be in a play, and I crawled around on my hands and knees, passed out during this play. So much fun, I know. But the second time it happened to me was like a long time later, and little Jude right here was 3 years old. We were at Disneyland boarding the Dumbo ride, and I could tell, I'm like, oh, my blood sugar's dropping. I'm just going to be really nauseated and maybe dry heave a few times while it's going around. So I'm getting on, it's getting ready to take off, and all of a sudden it hits me. Nope, I'm definitely going to black out. I knew it. I knew I was going to black out. And so I'm running through the scenarios in my mind. I'm like, well, I could get out of the Dumbo ride and crawl on my hands and knees in front of all these nice people at Disneyland and humiliate myself. Option one doesn't sound so good. Or I could just ride the ride, pass out, and dangle from the Dumbo cart and traumatize my 3-year-old for the rest of his life about rides. Well, as you could probably guess, I chose option number one, crawl on my hands and knees out of the Dumbo cart. It was so humiliating, you guys. I can't even tell you. I literally stopped the ride for a full 20 minutes, and all these parents who had stood in the sun for like an hour for this stupid Dumbo ride were like glaring at me. I'm like, I really have a medical condition. Anyways, these are all the reasons that I have decided that maybe fasting isn't the best for me. And when it comes down to it, if you have a medical condition, I want to encourage you, do work with your doctor, talk to your doctor. But when I was evaluating even my medical condition, what I found at the root of why I didn't fast food was because I didn't like to be weak in front of other people, and I didn't want to be humiliated in front of other people. And I came to a place where God's really convicted me, and he's saying, Amy, that's not the right reason. Like, in fact, it causes you to lean more on me. And so I am just working through this. So just know this sermon doesn't come out of a place where I'm on the mountaintop and I'm talking down to you. This sermon comes out of a place where I'm like, I'm right in it with you. Boy, if you didn't know it, I'm a sinner and I'm selfish. Just so you know, let's start it off just right there. God's got to demolish that inside of me. Can I go on a little tangent, though? Just a little one. American Christians don't like to fast food. That's why I'm talking about it. We're really good. We're like, oh, I'll fast whipped cream. So I'll still go to Starbucks and I'll get my Frappuccino, but I won't have whipped cream on it. Such a sacrifice. Anyways, I'm just saying, we don't like to fast food, especially food. And there's a reason we don't like to fast food. And it's actually pretty simple. I don't like to feel hungry. Do you like to feel hungry? Hey, when I feel hungry, I can go into the cupboard and get food at any time I want to. That's the society we live in, has an abundance of food. And we become a consumer society. And also, we view food as a basic need. Shoot, I got a right to eat when I want to eat, and the food's right in the cupboard, so I'm going to do it. Right? We've become a consumer society. We consume. We are consumers. And we don't just consume food, right? We consume TV, Netflix, Hulu, Freeform, ABC, NBC, HBO, Showtime. Anything I'm missing, shout it out. Right? And so binging TV is a thing. It's a big thing. What about social media or maybe even shopping? How many of you are so excited when your little Amazon package comes? Because I know I am. I'm like, oh, there it is. It's just blinds, but it's still a package I get to open. I don't know. Or something for the church, but I'm like, yay. I don't know. Any shopaholics in there? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. You fill in the blank, but whatever we do, we enjoy and we consume in excess in America. And Christians are no different. Even though I really think that we should be. And so I really, when I was coming to preaching this sermon, I was so drawn to Isaiah 58. And I realized I've been drawn to Isaiah 58 since I'm a teenager, or since I was a teenager, because I'm a weirdo. I don't know. Isaiah 58 is like the coolest verse about fasting. It really is one of the central verses in the Bible about fasting. It lays it out so clearly. Maybe it's because I'm black and white and I just love how it's like, this is good fasting, this is bad fasting. It just is very clear. I was shocked in my study of this sermon to learn that Isaiah 58 is a poem, but that makes sense that it would be such a beautiful thing to read and to speak out loud. And the imagery of Isaiah 58, when true fasting is done, the imagery of the reward of that is amazing. But Isaiah 58 is also a pretty harsh rebuke. It's kind of like, hey, y'all, you stupid. You need to get with it and get on track. Isaiah 58 is pretty strong. In fact, in the beginning, it says, shout out loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Yell at the people. Right? So let's just call this a yelly poem. I feel like this could be like on Saturday Night Live. Yelly poem, why are you yelling at me? Anyways, if you, I get random sometimes, I can't help it. But it's a yelling poem. And the really, like I said in the beginning, it's laying out what true fasting is. And true fasting is not just about me and Jesus. It's about me and others. And so true fasting becomes a full frontal attack on our sin. Any sin that we have, when we fast, it really, man, God just allows us to see it and allows us to break through. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But here, Isaiah is told to yell at the Israelites because God's wake-up call for them wasn't working. God was trying to wake them up by not answering. You see that in verse 3 and 4. And in fact, he says, I'm not even listening to your prayers. Just in case you didn't know, I'm not listening. And I don't think that this has to do with reward, where God's like, you can earn me listening to your prayers by what you do. No, it has to do with heart. He's like, I want to wake you up because something's wrong in your heart. And what was wrong with them? Their heart, their motive, their attitude was not right. They were doing this as a ritualistic hoop to jump through to get what they wanted from God, period. The heart was not after God. And in Zechariah 7:46, even Zechariah prophesies to the people, and he's like, hey, when you fasted, when you mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, wow, that's a lot of years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourself? I think the same question could be asked of us today. Who are we fasting for? Are we fasting for us or are we fasting for God? And often our prayers during our fast look like this. Bless me, heal me, fill me, touch me, provide for me, save me, hear me, 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 me. And God is wanting the Israelites to have their vertical truth of him affect their horizontal relationships with others. That is a big deal for him. And that's why the big idea today is that true fasting isn't just about me and Jesus, it's about me and others. And so he provides a list of things that they're doing wrong, things that are hindering their ability for their prayers to be heard, things that are hindering them from freedom. And it really breaks down into like three categories, right? Exploitation, oppression, arguing, strife, finger pointing, and malicious talk. So I just want to break that down a little bit. You see in verse 3, the exploitation. And I don't know if you're like me and you're reading that and you're like, I don't exploit anybody. I'm not a dictator or whatever. But when I was looking up what real exploitation is, it really boils down to this: helping people with an you owe me attitude. It's a I'm giving so that I will give back. And so if you've ever given love to get love back, that's a form of exploitation. And if you struggle with, like I do, if I give you a birthday present, come next year, I'm expecting you to give me a birthday present too, right? Or boy, I'm not getting that girl a birthday present. I got her one last year and she didn't give me one back. Right? That's how we work. It's expectation. So that's a form of exploitation. And then there's oppression. It's the unjust exercise of authority. We've all experienced it. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've experienced it. And maybe you've been a part of it. When we use our authority incorrectly as a parent, as a leader, as a spouse, or even as a boss. And we've seen it, right? I don't need to throw the word misogyny out there. But we've seen people exploited and oppressed. And then there's the second half, which is arguing and strife. And all arguing really boils down to is I'm right and you're wrong. Everybody said amen. I am always right, right? Everybody say that. I'm right. I'm right all the time. It's an unwillingness to listen to someone else's opinion in humility. And all Facebook arguments ever, right? All Facebook arguments ever look like this. And then there's the last one. That's the pointing of fingers and malicious talk, right? The blame game. What's wrong in this church? What's wrong in my business? What's wrong in my marriage? What's wrong at home? What's wrong anywhere is not my fault. It's your fault, right? We blame shift. And then we gossip and slander and have malicious talk because we're finding fault and inadequacy in someone else, and then we're telling others about it. Now, that does sound really bad, but if we all, like, closed our eyes and bowed our head and said, I have gossiped before, do you think maybe it'd be like everyone in this room? Including myself. And so this list of stuff is really interesting. And even in Matthew 7:3, Jesus says, why don't you take the plank out of your own eye before you start trying to pick the speck out of your brother's eye? And I think that's what he's getting at. And you see in 6 and 7, it says, isn't this the kind of fasting that I've chosen for you? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. And what God's saying is, not that he's trying to condemn them like, hey, you suck. Like, look at all these things you're doing. You gossip. Look at how you talked about your friend behind their back. Or, man, you really unjustly used your authority on your kids the other day. This is not a list of condemnation. This is a list of the things that God wants to free you from. We look at Isaiah 58 and we think, oh, God, this is what you want to do in the world when I pray. And God's like, oh, no. When you fast, this is what I'm breaking in you. Because oftentimes when we fast, we're like, oh, Lord, change my boss, change my work, change my home. And God's like, no, I change you from the inside out. See, he can't do a work through you unless he first does a work inside of you. He wants to work inside of you. And the attack on our sin in our life, it really can't be done without connecting to him first. And so that's why when we talk about these things like fasting, they're tools to help bring breakthrough in our life, but they're missing their power when they're not connected to prayer. That's why prayer and fasting go hand in hand, because we know that there's power when we connect with the Holy Spirit, who helps us to even see these things that are going on in our life. And then it's the Holy Spirit that attacks these things in us that harm others. He's not listening to this to say, okay, now you need to put together an action plan of how you need to take care of your sin. No, now that Jesus has come and died on the cross, he's saying, no, I want to take care of your sin. I want to use your fasting as a time that you meet with me and I can demolish the oppression in your life, the spirit of finger pointing in your life, the malicious talk in your life. See, I want you to be free because I want you to experience the joy that comes from these things being broken in your life, the joy that comes in relationships when these things are broken in your life. He deeply desires to bring freedom in people's lives, and that includes you. See, he's not thinking, oh man, she's really a terrible person. I need her to fast so that I can change her and I can like her better. Oh, God's like, no, my daughter is struggling and she's burdened. She's in an unlocked cage. I want her to fast so that I can break through for her and see her experience the joy that I have for her. And so I've got three practical ways that you can really experience freedom and help being a part of bringing freedom, because it's more than that. God doesn't just want you to experience freedom. He wants you to know what it's like to bring freedom to someone else. That is an addicting thing, my friend, and we'll get into that. So the three practical ways, and they're ways you probably know. You probably know all of this stuff, but the longest distance is from the head to the heart. It's stuff we've got to apply. So one, we got to pray, we got to prepare, and we got to give. These three things make fasting an absolutely powerful powerhouse in your life. Prayer. When you fast a meal, TV, coffee, pray instead. When you start feeling the pains of hunger, pray. Talk to Jesus about it. When you start getting a migraine because your coffee addiction is like coming down and you've been fasting it, pray. Talk to Jesus. The number two, prepare. Prepare a list of people, of things you want to be praying for. Because I got to tell you, man, when I'm starving, that's all I think about. I'm like, Jesus, help me make it through the day. I'm really hungry. I might pass out. You know, I'm dying because I've gone an hour without food. Anyways, but you want to have a list ready that when that pain happens, you're praying for someone else. And can I say that list should start with others first? It doesn't exclude you and your needs, but it needs to start with others first. If you need guidance, pray for someone else to gain guidance. If you need financial provision, pray for someone else you know needs financial provision, maybe even more than you. But make a list, be prepared, and we have a list for you for the church because we're doing this 21-day corporate prayer and fasting. You can grab a bookmarker as you leave. You can also make a list of your neighbors and start praying for those that live around you. But make a list, be prepared, and the last is to give. Whatever money you would have spent on food, on clothes, on entertainment, on coffee, on TV. I've known people that have shut their TV off for 21 days. You can do this. You can call the cable company, shut it off, and they take whatever money that they had given to the cable company and they give it to something else. And as I was looking at this, Tyrone mentioned, and I had no idea about, if you need something to pray for, I'll give it to you, because Tyrone mentioned to me about Cyclone Ida as the worst disaster that has hit the Southern Hemisphere in history. And I don't know, news is not talking about this, but it's actually a really big deal. And people are suffering incredibly. Convoy of Hope, their feet have just hit the ground, and they'll even say this is the worst disaster they've ever helped with in the history of their organization. And so this place needs prayer and it needs finances because it is devastated. Cholera is beginning to spread like crazy. And the government, I'll play a video later, but the government is corrupt and it's holding back food from these people. If anybody needs prayer right now, it's those affected by Hurricane Ida. If we stay in this me mode, right, me, what I need, in our prayers, in our giving, in our finances, we're actually blocking the answers God has for our own needs. It says that right in verse 4. I'm not hearing you. I'm not even listening to you. However, there's a greater contrast when you read through Isaiah 58, 8 through 12, when it says, this is what's going to happen when you truly fast correctly. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. What's that saying? You're going to get healed. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of God will be your rear guard. What's that saying? What you don't even know is coming that's going to hurt you, I'm already guarding you from. You don't even see it, but I'm guarding you from. Then you will call and the Lord will answer, which means you're going to ask for things. The Lord is going to answer quickly. You will cry out for help and I will say, here I am. God will be present with you. Then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will be like the noonday. Basically what it's saying is any area of your life you have confusion or darkness, I'm going to bring light and make it very clear. So these are, sometimes we read this and it is beautiful language, but they're very practical things. The Lord will guide you always. He will sustain your needs in a sun-scorched land. What's he saying right here? Hey, everything around you might be dying and dry, relationships or finances, but I'm going to sustain you. Even when there's nothing around you. Maybe your marriage is dead and God's saying, you know what? It might be dead, but I'm going to sustain you with my love and my affection. Right? God will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered plant, like a stream whose waters never fail. And then it goes on to what I believe is for other people. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and you will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets of dwellings. That's for other people. See, God wants to bring you freedom, but he wants to do it through you and bring it for other people. The true fasting that we seek isn't just about me and Jesus. It's about me and others. And for me personally, yes, God has delivered me. As a 15-year-old, I came to know Jesus. I was struggling with panic attacks and fear. Many of you know my story. And God had to deliver me of that fear. And yes, he did. And he set me free. But what I didn't know is that there would be continued things that God needs to set me free from. Because as a new Christian, I thought, oh, once you're set free, you're set free. You have nothing else that oppresses you. But just can I give you some news, Christians? You do have some things that God needs to set you free from. He does it. He's so loving. He does it in layers. And later on, when the kids were older, or when I had kids and they were, I guess you weren't older. You were like 2 and 3, and I was really struggling with a fear that I would die and leave my kids alone. And I mean, I've been a Christian now for 10 years. At this point, I'm like, wow, I'm really struggling. And a man of God came to me and he's like, you are struggling with this hardcore. Prays over me fully. God delivers me once again. And then here I am now, and I'm fasting and stretching myself for the first time, fasting a meal at night. And God is just shaking up my selfish prayers. Can I be real? I didn't realize how selfish and self-centered my prayers had become. And, you know, it wasn't that God's like, oh, you're really praying bad here. You're really selfish. No, it's that now I'm experiencing the joy of praying for other people, of thinking of other people's needs, because thinking of other people's needs and bringing freedom to them, that's a joyful thing. God has delivered me, and I've experienced that, but I will even go back and remember the first time I prayed over this young girl who was like refusing to know Jesus. And I just prayed this audacious prayer. I was like, hey, can I pray that God changes your heart? Would you at least let me pray that over you? I didn't know what to expect. And I just prayed this audacious prayer. I say amen. And she looks at me and she's like, I'm ready to accept Jesus. I'm ready to submit my life to him. When minutes before, she's like, nothing. I don't want anything to do with God. Can I tell you, when you get to be a part of somebody else's spiritual, physical, mental freedom, whether that's you're giving money to the homeless or you're helping somebody find a job or a house, or maybe you're helping somebody with an addiction, or maybe you're praying over someone and they get healed, let me tell you, that's addicting. That is addicting. That is the joy of my life, to walk through with people and see them set free, and I desire for you to see that too. And that's why I want to challenge you as American Christians. And I get it. Some of you can't fast food. Talk to your doctor about it. But if you can, would you at one point during this 21-day of fasting fast a meal or a day of food and choose to instead pray, and pray specifically for Hurricane Ida and for Convoy of Hope Disaster Relief as they try to meet all the needs? And would you give? Would you give money towards that? Maybe there's another need on your heart. That's totally fine. In fact, if you want to give to Convoy of Hope, you can do it online through bellroadchurch.com, or you can put it in an offering envelope and place it in the black boxes. Just make sure you mark Convoy of Hope, and we're going to give money to Convoy of Hope as they help this disaster relief. And we're going to take a couple minutes right now and look at someone else's need. Because maybe you haven't heard that much about what's going on in Africa. And so I'm going to play a video that's going to show you what's going on in Africa. And then we're going to take a minute after that, and we're going to pray together for them and for their needs. And maybe there's something on your heart and you know somebody that's desperate and has a need. As I know, we're also going to pray for Teen Challenge today, because there's a great need there as well. But we want to pray and ask God to do something in someone else's life. And as we humble ourselves and we fight for those who can't fight for themselves, I believe that God is also going to meet our needs.
The death toll in the cyclone disaster on the African continent rose sharply today to more than 550. The storm devastated Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, and Malawi. John Irvine of Independent Television News is in Mozambique, where the desperation is growing.
Trying to restore order at the point of an AK-47. But the people wouldn't be repelled for long. Driven on by hunger, they knew that at last the local council had brought food to this municipal building, and they fought to get their hands on it. For many here in Beira, it's been a long starving week since the cyclone struck.
No food, no food, no food!
At times, when they felt threatened, the soldiers tossed a sack of flour into the crowd, so instead of fighting them for it, the people could fight each other for it. There wasn't nearly enough to go round.
As well as everything else, there's a political dimension to what's going on here. Mozambique's government does not enjoy much support in this area, and these people believe the inadequate response is both deliberate and vindictive.
Isaiah 58 talks about true fasting, implying that there is such a thing as a false fast. But we thought fasting was just giving up food. How complicated can it get? But verse 2 says that, for day after day they seek me out and they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right. But instead of counting this as righteousness, God counts it to them as rebellion. Because seeking is not the same as serving. Eagerness is not the same as obedience. And knowing his ways is not the same as knowing him. The people cried, "Why have we fasted and you have not seen?" And God replies, "On the day of your fasting, you still did as you please." These people were probably, like us, pretty good at following the rules, thinking that blessing should come at the end of the equation, making following God seem sort of like going to school. But it seems that with knowledge alone, our teacher is not impressed. You can have all the right answers, but still not pass the test. Turns out that fasting that God calls blessed is to loose the chains of injustice and break the yoke of the oppressed. So when we fast, let us not spoil our speech by soliciting slander, ignoring injustice, or withholding help to the homeless. Instead, let us sustain our Sabbaths, forgive our offenders, and extend hands to the hungry. Is this not the kind of fasting that He has chosen? Sure, we can humble ourselves, bow our heads, play the parts, but what good are starving stomachs if we still have hardened hearts? We forget that in Christ we're all sisters and brothers, that we have been blessed so we can turn and bless others. The cost is great, yes, but the promise is too, that our light will rise in the darkness and our night will become like noon. He will satisfy our needs in a sun-scorched land. Dawn will break forth and we will feel His healing hand. Righteousness will go before us. His glory will go behind. He will rebuild, repair, and restore. And the joy of the Lord we will find. We will ride on the heights and feast on our inheritance. When we stop fasting to get what we want, and we start fasting to get what He wants.
Amen. You guys can give her a hand. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me? We're going to close out the service. Fasting is not just about me and Jesus. It's about me and others. So we're going to take a few minutes, and I would love to pray for Hurricane Ida. If you would join me to pray that the corrupt government that is in place would be removed in the name of Jesus. We think our government is corrupt. You have no idea. Let's pray that God anoints and uses Convoy of Hope and clears the way for them to do all that they can. Let us pray that the cholera that has been started, that is spreading, would stop in the name of Jesus, whether it be by the healing hand of our powerful God or by the creation that He has made through medicine, that we would send medicine and we would see this outbreak be ended in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at and what needs you have. Maybe there's someone in your life that you know is desperate. And so whatever is on your heart, whether it's Ida or Teen Challenge or maybe someone else, we're going to take a minute. I'm not going to make this super easy for you. I'm going to let you pray on your own. God, would you step in? God, would you move? God, would you do something powerful right now? So let's just take a few moments. And in your own words, let's begin to ask, Jesus, we need you. God, I echo these prayers. I echo these prayers. God, that you would displace a corrupt government, that you would place in government officials that want the best for their people. God, that you would come in and any demonic spirit that's a principality would be removed, that you would send your angels regarding this people. And God, you know those that are hungry and desperate. God, the ones that are most hurting the most are the youngest and the oldest. And so, Lord, I pray that you would sustain them physically until help can come, that you would anoint, that you would use Convoy of Hope, that you would move on the hearts of your people that have more than enough to share their blessings with those who have none. As we fast and we experience hunger that we've never known when they've known hunger all their lives. God, would you convict our hearts and would you show us how to put our compassion to feet so that our pity will not marinate inside of us until it becomes something dead. God, would you move our American hearts to love those neighbors next to us and love those neighbors far away and to see those in need and to bless them. Jesus. Jesus. If you're in here and you've never experienced the kind of freedom that I'm talking about that comes through Jesus Christ, today is your day. That Jesus doesn't want to just be your Lord. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your deliverer. He wants to speak to the circumstances in your life and tell them to be silent. If that's you today, would you say a prayer that just says, Jesus, I believe in you. I accept you in my life. I accept you as my Lord and my forgiver. I accept you as the person that will give me future and a hope.
Thanks again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.